It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. I am one of your hosts, Lex, and I'm here with my very good friend and co-host, Simon. What's going on with you, man? I know we were talking, this isn't going to be on the audio version, but we were talking about work a little bit. Other than that, what's going on with you?
Not much. I was doing some photography today. I went and sold some collectibles, you know.
Nice. What'd you sell?
I sold my Zone of the Enders Anubis figure that I had.
Nice.
And then
was
that
on Mercari through, or did you find someone else?
No, I had I had Jehuti, which is the one that we're trying to sell on Mercari. This one I just had. I didn't get any bites or any interest at all on eBay, so I just took it to that place down the street.
Okay.
And in my view is like, I know that I could hold out and get. That's my dog. He's sneezing. Nice. I can hold out and get like, you know, $100, whatever.
Yeah.
But in my mind, when I buy something, I bought that thinking I was going to have it forever.
Yeah.
So it's like either I'm going to have it forever, or I'm going to throw it away. There's no other value besides sentimental. So if I get half of what I paid for it, then I'm happy because that's more money than I'm, you know what I mean?
That's what makes me a terrible comic book collector. I am the same way. I buy things. Like, you know, serious comic book collectors that, like, speculate on hot books and things like that, I feel like those guys don't even read comic books. You know, they just try to flip them and stuff like that. But for me, I do like a very pressed and clean comic book, but I also like the really beat up and grease-stained comic book that have obviously been read a lot. And I buy covers. I buy books just for the covers. You know what I mean? I buy terrible books. I like terrible books. As long as I feel like I got something out of it, then... And as I've mentioned before in the podcast, I don't sell anything. So for me, I'm the same way. If I get money for anything that I bought, then I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's a win because the process of selling it isn't what I do it for. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And I had a couple of 12-inch Marvel Legends that at this point, like, I buy things because I'm like, what can I do with this?
Yeah.
You know, I have a few collectible things that I may not be able to do much with. I just wanted them.
Yeah.
Those were impulse buys, and so I sold those.
Are those bitches. So they're 12 inch. Those are the really detailed ones. The ones that did you have, like Spider-Man? Which one did you have?
I had Spider-Man and Iron Man, and I wouldn't say that they're all that detailed.
Really? Honestly. I feel like there was a Spider-Man one that came out that had like its regular face. It was fairly detailed. I feel like it was a Marvel Legends one, but it might have
been. I mean, honestly, it just looked like a bigger version of the regular Marvel Legends. Like, they didn't have any more articulation. It was just 12-inch black thing. There you go. But everybody's like, I don't know. Simon says he's married, but I'm pretty sure that dude's gay. Talks about dicks a lot. I traded it in. They were like, oh, it's this much, you know, whatever. If I got more than 50, I'd be happy. They were like, oh, but in store, it's like 100. I was like, pfft.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
especially if it's a store like you shop at, then it's like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I went ahead and got a PS5, another PS5 controller while I was there.
I thought you were saying I just got another PS5 while I was there.
Yeah, I just bought one. They just had one.
Oh man, so I was thinking about getting another controller and the charging dock.
Yeah,
not to sound like, you know, I have a monocle in and I'm super rich and fancy.
Charging dock.
I'm just really lazy, and it takes, and maybe it's just because I didn't let it fully charge when I first played it, but it took a hot minute to charge that bad boy up.
And if you go into the options for everyone that's listening,
yeah.
Just like the PS4, like if you go in the options and mess with the, you can dim the light, you can like change the vibration, stuff like that. It'll make it last a lot longer, but it does. Like you said, it takes a long time to charge that bitch up.
And it also, you can like, it doesn't have it set automatically, but like if you're watching Netflix or something on there, the controller just stays on. So you can go to where it turns off after like 10 minutes of inactivity or whatever. And that helps too. I don't have anything going on. I didn't buy any new comic books really besides like the Wednesday stuff. But since we're talking about the PS5, I guess we can just jump into it. It came out last week. Lots of people tried to get them because Walmart had like a Friday stock or whatever. They had set different times on Friday.
Yeah.
And people, you know, tried to get them and a lot of them didn't. So that's really unfortunate.
It's kind of a weird thing. I know it's always been tougher trying to get things on launch day because of scalpers, but I guess everything being online, people set up bots and they bought like 15 of them, you know, yeah. They buy a whole store stock.
Yeah. We saw some pictures of people that had, like you said, like 10, 15, and they were selling them for, you know, $1,500 to $1,200 to $1,500, which is, to me, is insane. You know, people say it's the same thing as flipping comic books. And again, I don't do that. So for me, I don't understand. Just kind of shitty, but
yeah. To me, it's just knocks against your going straight to hell.
Yeah.
But I also think if I don't even like reselling stuff, you know.
Same.
If I were going to, I wouldn't charge more than $100. Don't be a straight dickhead. You know
double
what I mean?
Price. Everything yeah. was everybody that I saw was selling them or selling them for double the price, which is insane to me because like there I am really glad. Thanks to you, I got one. But if I didn't, there's no way in hell that I would pay double price for something that in a few months is going to be regular price.
Right, yeah. Like, it's
no way. I just just didn't get it. Hey, man, you know what? Yeah. It sucks. But guess what? It's okay.
Guess what? All the games that are out right now are out on your current systems.
Especially after they mentioned that it's going to be a three-year transition from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5. It's like they're going to still be knocking out games for both. All the way up until 3 years, you know what I mean? Kind of like how they did with the PlayStation 3 and 4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hell, the PS2 had games coming out for a long time.
So that'll be cool. I'm excited again. So Simon had secured 2 pre-orders by chance. It wasn't like he was scalping or anything like that. Most people that we know, Sony had this thing where you enter your email address and you have a chance to win the option to pre-order through them. So Simon secured his Target one, and I was away from the house when everybody got theirs. I couldn't get it, but then Sony emailed him, and so I snagged that one. I was going to wait because I wasn't going to drive to my hometown to get it this past weekend, but I was just like, ooh, I don't really want to wait.
Gotta get it, man. Gotta do it.
So, I was like, I don't really want to wait. So I made this freaking journey back home to get it and hung out with Simon and his wife for a little bit. That was fun.
Even played though they the played a scary game.
Creepy game.
We saved all the teens, man. Jesus. Until dawn.
Even Rami Malek's character?
No, we didn't have enough clues to save him. Apparently, he had to have all the clues, but we saved everybody else.
I'm glad first time. And so, yeah, I got it. I came home and played it quite a bit. I was excited. So, what are your thoughts on the PlayStation 5 so far, a few days after having it and being an owner?
Okay, so I'm going to be a dick. And everybody's going to be mad at me. But I enjoy it, and I love the interface and everything. Right now, I'm playing Ghost of Tsushima. I noticed a difference in load times. It honestly looks a little bit better to me, but I'm also playing it on a bigger television, like a 4K television, whereas I was playing it in my room, 1080p.
Yeah.
So it loads faster. It looks better. But that being said, I played a little bit of Miles Morales. I love it so far, but I didn't want to sink too far into it because I'm still in Ghosts.
Same.
I don't notice that big of a difference yet, but I mean,
it's weird that you said that because I watched someone on Twitch playing it, playing Miles Morales from their PS4, and I noticed an extreme difference. Like,
well, see, yeah, to me, I haven't seen that comparison, so.
To me, it looked like I wouldn't play that game on PS4. And if you have PS4 and you played it and you enjoy it, then I'm not trying to crap on you. But I watched a little bit of it and I was just like, "Woof, man, that really? It looks like it." Like they made it for PS5 and then they were like, "Hey, man, we should probably make this for PS4 too." So they had to like scale back on everything, and it just kind of jarring a little bit.
Like Switch ports, when you play like Doom on Switch, like,
yeah. So I mean. I'm the same way. I haven't sunk into. I haven't even started Miles Morales. Like, I haven't even touched it because I am still playing Ghost. At one point, I got Days Gone from Gamefly, and I put a lot of hours in that, but I sent it back, and so I re-downloaded that and I started playing that again. So
yeah, that's probably my next.
I just gotten that, and I really enjoyed that game. Despite, you know, whether people like it or not, I really enjoyed that game, and so I'm kind of in that right now, you know. And so I'm like, oh, I want to finish all the rest of the games that come with the PS Plus collection. I think I beat Not saying I will, you know, I won't play Battlefield, or, you know, I didn't beat Crash Bandicoot.
Probably going to play Arkham Knight again. As many times as that comes out, I'm going to play it.
Yeah, I'm probably going to play all these games again. You know, I'm probably going to play God of War. I'm probably going to reinstall that just to play it. It was a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it so far. The interface is it takes a second to get used to. It's not that I don't like it, but I'm just used to hitting the home button, and then it goes back to home. But like, now it's like at the bottom of the screen, and it's just kind of weird.
Yeah. what was I going to say? I did get Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It finally came in the mail today.
Nice. I do need to get that. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, so I might be jumping on that one pretty soon. Hopefully they'll come up with some updates to clear out some of the glitches.
Yeah, I heard it had the biggest launch in Assassin's Creed history.
I bet. I mean, it looks weird. Not only is it Vikings, the new battle system to me, it's weird that they still call it Assassin's Creed, but I love it. You know, I really like the new system that started in Origins. So
yeah, I really crapped on Assassin's Creed after Black Flag. Like, I was just kind of like over it. Mm-hmm. And it was like the same old thing over and over. Origins, I didn't play as much, but I enjoyed Origins. But there was something about Odyssey. Not we've talked about it before. I played a lot of that game, man. Then like almost mindlessly, you know.
Well, it's huge too. Like, that game is, I feel like it's probably bigger than any of the other ones.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And yeah, so I mean, I saw this thing it was like what it would cost to completely get the thing, everything for the PlayStation 5, like 3 controllers, headset, camera, charging port, VR, and I don't know what else, but it was like $1,365.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's not that bad. I'm not saying that I'm not going out to do it, but I was like, it's really not that bad for 3 controllers, you know, the camera, the headset, the VR. Yeah,
my PC costs like $1,200 all in.
It's really not that much. So I was like, I'm going to slowly buy some of that stuff. Not all of it for sure.
Yeah. VR is just going to make you sick, man. I don't know.
I was getting sick playing. So I downloaded Fortnite just to see, cause it is like a quote unquote PlayStation 5 game. Like, they have a PlayStation 5 version, just to see if there was a difference in that. And there really is. It looks way better. So, and I got sick playing that and Days Gone. Like, I have to take Dramamine, man. I get motion sickness weirdly. I said I'm not made to play video games.
I get it every once in a while. Nicole really gets it bad. And I'll tell you what had helped me in the past are ginger pills.
Mm-hmm.
Like ginger supplements. Ginger is really good for motion sickness and nausea.
Nice. I'll have to do that. I like ginger.
Yeah.
So we'll have to do that. Awesome. Yeah, I like it so far. There was a thing that came out yesterday that was like something was happening. It was just like locking up people's PlayStations, turning them into bricks. Mm-hmm. Some glitch, I guess, when it was in rest mode.
Yeah. So apparently, Miles Morales, it was an issue with Miles Morales and something else. It was, both Insomniac games. So Miles Morales and Spider-Man Remastered. If you put it in rest mode, not everybody, because I put mine in rest mode when I was playing, but if you pulled it out, sometimes it would make you rebuild your database, and that was scaring people. That happened to one of our friends.
Yeah,
some people it would try to rebuild and it would just fucking brick their system.
Like you mentioned in our Discord earlier, I don't ever turn my PlayStation off. I like to run that thing until the walls fall off, so I would never have that problem. But I did actually put this thing in rest mode because I was like, I'm going to be, you know, more conscious about this one. And I was kind of scared to turn it back on after that. So
yeah,
I'm glad I was safe.
Damage is done, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, I'm excited about it. I'm not saying if you didn't get it, you're really not missing out on that much.
Not yet.
Honestly. No. The PlayStation Plus collection was a nice touch, even though there's nowhere to download all those games because...
not enough room.
You don't have enough room.
They had to do it though. I mean, there just weren't enough go-to launch titles, in my opinion.
It was smart.
Yeah, they had to do that. I'm hoping that, because they don't even have like a PS5 version of Cyberpunk for sale, So I'm curious how they're going to work that in, you know, because Cyberpunk comes out December 10th. I'm curious if they're just going to be like, well, okay, this, if you have a PS5, it's just, here you go. Here's the day one patch.
Yeah, from what I understand, I know they're doing the free upgrade, so I don't know if they're just going to do it kind of like, well, Miles has a PlayStation 5 game, right? You can get the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, yeah, so. And you can download the PS4 version if you want.
Yeah.
And just switch the store mode or whatever.
I don't know. I don't know. That's weird. That's a game that I'm like, I'm actually, I went from being, you know, wanting to pre-order that and get it first day, and now I'm just kind of like, I'll wait and see.
Yeah.
What the, you know, the general consensus is, because for them taking it out of, and it's a stupid gripe, you know, but it's a game that I was interested in. For them to make it first person only, I'm just like, oh, not saying I don't want to play it, but it's just less, a little less interesting to me.
For something that takes the whole idea is like body modifications and stuff, to take out the view of being able to see your body after you make those modifications. Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like, I like CD Projekt Red, and I think they'll make a great game.
I think it's going to be amazing. Yeah, I do. But again, I'm just not going to get it day one. At that point, I'm for sure still going to be playing Assassin's Creed. I'll probably be working through Spider-Man Remastered. And honestly, I'll probably still be playing Ghost. Hopefully they announce that they're going to do like a PlayStation 5 patch, because that would be insane.
Yeah.
That game's already gorgeous.
It really is. And it's already run, like, I think we had made the comment last week, it runs extremely well.
Yeah, the load times were fast already. And you had mentioned this before about how it seems faster than any other games that came out. You know, it's weird because it was right towards the end of the PlayStation 4's, like, not, you know, before the PlayStation 5 came out. But then it was loading way faster. Fast travels were, like, super fast. And it's even faster now on PlayStation 5, so it's insane. It's kind of like they knew what was going to happen.
Right, yeah.
And the PlayStation 4 has all those capabilities. They like to stunt its growth, to sell you a giant. That thing is massive. That is one thing I will say.
It's so quiet, though. Yeah, if you don't have it, if you're running pure digital, it makes no noise at all.
It doesn't make a single sound, it's weird. It's weird. Okay, that's enough PlayStation 5 love. We both enjoy it so far.
Sucking off Sony over here.
This podcast is sponsored by Sony, obviously. So, suck it if you didn't get a PlayStation. So. I'm just kidding. That's really mean. All right, so what news do we got today? We have the CW is currently developing a show based on the newly announced Wonder Woman from the upcoming DC Future State comic event. Yara Flor. She's Brazilian. I could be wrong. I don't know if she's Brazilian. She might be Brazilian. I don't know. If you're Spanish and you get offended by me being wrong, I'm sorry. But it's cool that they're making a show about Wonder Girl, that version of Wonder Girl, even though we haven't seen her yet.
Yeah.
But it's CW, so it's really hard for me to get excited about that.
I like anything that they're doing. I mean, I like when they bring in new characters.
Yeah.
Not the same old shit you've seen a million times, especially since they already have a Wonder Girl in Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. You know, and what's weird is that a lot of people didn't watch Stargirl. You know, Stargirl was on DC Universe, or was supposed to be on DC Universe, and they just put it on CW. I watched Stargirl, and it was very, very corny, right? But it was better than all of the CW shows, in my opinion.
Really?
And, you know, because I have a gripe with...
I need to watch it.
I get a gripe with... Arrow, because it's just like Batman
dressed as
the Green Arrow, and that's just, to me. And the Flash is okay.
The Flash is too much like a soap opera,
because
it's really about the love story, which is why it's on CW.
Yeah, and the friendships, and like who betrayed who this week. It is corny. The Stargirl is corny, but it's kind of supposed to be. And if you don't realize that, it's like JSA. And old like JSA type villains. If you don't realize that it's going to be corny, then you're watching the wrong show. It's really good. So I mean, if you could stomach a few episodes, it's better than Titans. Not that it's that much.
Yeah, I'll definitely try to watch it. I usually fall in, if I'm watching something, I'm doing something else. So I fall into old things, like I might watch The Simpsons, and I've So I watched The Simpsons when I was a kid, right?
Uh-huh.
But lately I like sit down and watch it while I'm eating dinner. And I fucking laugh, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't laugh at a lot of stuff, but I'm cracking up over these dumbass jokes.
Simpsons is always good. Oh, I did make a note of this. Yara Flores is the new Wonder Woman in the upcoming Future State series. It said that. She is an Amazonian warrior and Brazilian river god.
Munching beer, so,
whatever that means. People have been wondering, is Diana still going to be around in that Future State storyline? But she is. She has a book called Immortal Wonder Woman.
Hmm.
I like that beer, man.
Yeah.
What's it taste like?
Sponsored by Lone Star.
Tastes like $5.
Tastes like dreams. Tastes like American Texan spirit.
I drink all mine, but I still have. There it is.
Lone Star. Every time I see Lone Star, it makes me think of King of the Hill. I don't know. Because Alamo beer or whatever. Yeah,
that's probably why I got it. It's so good and it's so cheap.
Label out Lone Star, yeah, sponsor us.
Right. Okay, what else do we got? Something I thought was weird. So I know there's a ton of news out there, guys, but I want to keep this part. Our last episode was like 2.5 hours long.
Just because, it was?
Yeah, because we were just rambling. So I want to try to keep the news down to stuff that I think is interesting, and maybe I hope that Simon thinks it's interesting. This is one thing I thought was weird. Sylvester Stallone did a weird Frankenstein video. He looks like Frankenstein to me.
He does.
He did this weird video. Where he announced that he was going to be in the Suicide Squad. I think that he is just high on his, you know, horse steroids, and he just made that video, and him and James Gunn are such good friends that James Gunn's like, oh, man, yeah, he's in it. And then they just like, now they just are just going to cut him into the movie somehow. What do you think?
I think that the Suicide Squad itself is becoming a suicide cult. All the actors are going to kill themselves at the end.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. Literally, like, really.
I'd still watch
it. Sylvester Stallone is, like, the leader.
I don't know, man. Sylvester Stallone, kudos to him for still getting these. This is a relatively big movie, whether the first one did good or not. And kudos to him, though. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy, dude. Like, yeah. I think he just shows up to these places, and they're like, sure.
Can you mumble these lines?
Well, I think he just shows up and he's like, I heard there's a movie. It's
like, yeah. I want to partner Disney movie.
Yeah, they're like, hey, man, we're not going to pay you anything. And he's like, he is, you know, mega rich. So
it's like, it's cool. Can I act angry?
So I'm interested to see what he is in this movie. Again, I don't know anything about these characters, man. A lot of these characters that they have in this movie, which I really appreciate. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think James Gunn will do it right. Yeah, he'll probably make it crazy, honestly.
Yeah, apparently he had full reign to kill any character that he wanted to.
Hopefully he'll kill Harley Quinn.
A lot of people were like, do you think he'll kill Harley Quinn? I'm just like, there's no way. They probably were like, hey, you can kill any character you want, but...
Except for...
They're like, hey, do the right thing, man. Don't, yeah. Don't do it.
Hey, it's the wrong time. Don't kill Idris Elba either. It's the wrong time for that.
Yeah, right. Those two actors survive, no matter what. All right, so that's exciting. Today, as of recording this, it's Tuesday. So this morning, Zack Snyder released a new Ultimate Snyder Cut teaser trailer. I watched it. Did you see it at all?
I didn't. I did see that there was a new trailer, but I haven't watched it.
Ooh, it is... It pissed me off.
Okay.
It's not that I... And it pissed me off for a number of reasons. Like, I was thinking to myself, like, why are you even watching this? Why do you care? Then I was pissed that I watched it.
It's like a train wreck.
And then I was pissed because of what it was. It was the exact same trailer, and I'm sure I missed a few things out of my blind rage, but it seemed like it was slowed down and in black and white. That's all it was.
Pretty worked up about that.
I mean, it was just when you watch it, you'll be like, oh wow, yeah, this is the exact same trailer that we've seen 100 times, except it's in black and white. And a few of, like, every time they show one of the characters, one of the Justice League members' faces, they, like, it slows down. So it's like dramatic scene, Aquaman kicks out the door of this building, and then it's like slow motion. And I'm just like, what is this? We didn't get anything new. Oh, one thing that I saw that was new. we got a better look at Steppenwolf, what he's going to look like in the new version of this old movie.
Born to be wild, man.
He looks as dumb. And this is probably going to give me hate, but I think he looks better in the original Justice League movie.
Really?
I think the weird, crystally sharp, golden body is kind of dumb.
Does he look like the brother in Suicide Squad? Because that was the same thing.
No, he looks like... he kind of looks like a sharper version of what Cyborg looked like in that movie.
Mm, dang, yeah. That's sharp. Less polygons.
Yeah, less polygons, more just like... sharp blades all over his body. To me, it looks bad, and I'm still not excited about this movie.
Yeah, I don't think you really can. Of a movie that was hyped and sucked, I don't really think that there's like a good movie in there. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen it already. Like our good friend Webb says, like, if there were a good movie, it would have been made.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, your vision isn't going to make it better. So
it does. I'm interested in it. Don't get me wrong. I'm 100% interested in it because it is 4 hours long compared to, you know, it's a whole hour and a half more than what we got. So I am interested in what that is. But they, you know, if you remember, they did the same thing with Batman vs. Superman. There was this director's cut that was supposed to be what the movie was really supposed to be like. And you watch it, yeah, and it's really no real difference.
The only, I'll only care... because, I mean, really, it's of no consequence. Unless there is some, like, I know, I already saw somebody stepped away from the Batman series they were supposed to be making. Uh-huh. Like, unless there's some spinoff universe that's going to be on HBO Max, I don't give two shits.
Zack Snyder has gone on record for saying that he has plans.
Good for him.
If everything goes as planned, he has future plans for Justice League 2 already written up, already planned out. Good, so he's banking on this thing to be a hit, and then Warner Brothers is going to be like begging him to make the third one.
There's going to be a shit ton of people that watch this for the same reason, yeah, that you and I are going to watch this. Like, yeah, all right, let's see this travesty.
You know, he does have those cultish fans, so we'll see. We'll see what they do. I don't know. People, you know, and they talk about Watchmen all the time, and I'm just like, man, Watchmen was good, but it wasn't like...
it wasn't the second coming.
Yeah,
it was a good adaptation from a movie that they all said that couldn't be filmed. So yeah,
it was a good movie. But like, I can't even think about what else he's done that I really enjoyed.
Dawn of the Dead. Did you watch that? 300.
Oh, he did 300. Yeah. See, he has, I don't really like,
but he even made that weird.
Yeah. I really don't like his style, man.
Yeah,
but it's not for me. I'm not a cinephile or whatever those weirdos are calling themselves.
Pedophiles.
Yes, those guys. Something interesting, though, that I did see, which is interesting only because it's kind of weird. Zack Snyder says he's only planning on filming 4 new minutes worth of footage for this new cut of the Justice League. And keep in mind, they did say that the budget was now $70 million.
What is 4 minutes?
Yeah, so... reports are saying that Jared Leto and Joe Manganiello's parts are those 4 minutes. That's weird. But, you know, they say that, but Henry Cavill said that he's not doing any reshoots. But reportedly, Ben Affleck, Ray Fisher, and Gal Gadot have came back to film some things. So for me, I think it's maybe they're doing reshoots, and then this is... 4 new minutes. And again, I don't know what out of an hour and a half it's going to be some kind of groundbreaking scene. 4 minutes is not that long, dude.
My wife says it's long enough. Two sides of the same coin.
It is not that long.
How long were you teeing that one up?
I wrote it down.
Ask my wife.
As soon as I saw this, I was like, yeah, that's the only reason I'm making a note of this, so I can make that joke. So you're like frozen. Oh, there you go. You're frozen in a laugh. I like it. All right. So this is a thing that I made in the notes. I like to do things that I think will either annoy you or make you laugh. So like when I send you the invite to the Zoom meetings are usually something really stupid.
Sex chat.
Today was sex tape. I said that was the title of it. And this next bit of news I have titled the Mando Minute.
Mando Minute.
So we're going to talk about The Mandalorian. Did you watch the last episode?
Yeah, man.
Okay, good. We're going to talk about that very briefly. I say minute because I know it's going to be longer than a minute. And
hopefully talk we can talk like that Micro Machines guy. Fast as you can.
Hopefully we can talk shortly. I don't think we talked about episode two, did we? Maybe very briefly?
Yeah, a little bit, I think.
Okay, so just to recap, episode two was filler, but a lot of people complain about the filler in Mando, which I don't complain about because, you know, it can't be 100% all action. You have to have a little bit of filler, and the filler is not that bad.
Like, yeah, one defense that I've seen about this is that basically it's kind of like your spaghetti western wandering cowboy thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he goes to a new town, he solves a problem, then he moves on. Yeah. So, like you say, it's just kind of a way station.
And it's kind of, and it wasn't really out of context. Episode two, he's traveling. Like you said, yeah, they couldn't do hyper speed. So, of course, what happens if they're going that slow, and then something's going to have to happen. It was cool that they showed the, you know, the new Republic sort of had police officers.
They had some really cool sequences too.
Yeah.
Flight sequences.
And those creepy spider things, man. Woo.
Nicole was like, aliens. Yeah. Bad aliens.
So we saw them. We've seen those in Star Wars Rebels. That's the first time we've ever seen those spiders. But this is it's different to see them. I know it's not live action, but to like really see them kind of in a live action setting really gave me the creeps.
I saw a piece of concept art that those were supposed to be in a previous Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like they were, I guess, in, I don't know.
I think I've seen that too. But yeah, they had him in Rebels, which is cool. But it's cool that they're doing all these connections to the animated shows, because like the movies, I was looking for it a lot in the movies. And I think in the last Star Wars movie, what was it? Rise of Skywalker? Whatever it was.
Rise of Skywalker and the Scissoring Sisters.
there were some ships that were in Rebels that were in that. So that was a cool sequence.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed that episode. It creeped me out, but I felt like it was a good filler. Some people were mad about it. I enjoyed it. But episode three, oh man, knocked it out of the park for me.
Yeah, it was really cool. And the reveal that of his clan is great. So yeah, good. Because that brings it back to Clone Wars.
So good, man. So good. It even starts out, so he goes with those guys. I feel like I got a sketchy vibe from all those characters. But once they like kicked the child into that thing, I was just like
shit.
And then they pushed him in the thing and they climbed it. I was just like, what the fuck is, like right out the gate, lots of action. And then those Mandalorians pop up and just beat the shit out of those guys. And it was great, man.
And it's cool. It seems like he's got this really rare armor, because it doesn't seem like anybody else has full Beskar armor.
No.
Like he's just taking pot shots running down the
hall. And everybody's always talking about it too. They're always talking about getting it.
This is the second episode this season that they're like, give me your shit or I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah. And so this is all spoilers. If you haven't seen it, fast forward to a few minutes. Bo-Katan is a huge character in the, you know, all side stories. It was very cool that she's in it. We knew she was gonna be in it, but it's very cool that she showed up and kind of how they showed up.
Is she only in Clone Wars or is she in Rebels too?
She shows up in Rebels as well.
Okay.
Because so does Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool, the show. And it's cool that they got the chick that played the voice to play her.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
So she plays the voice of Bo-Katan in the show, and it's cool that she looked like close enough to her that she could play the one
in
here. And as you mentioned a second ago, that was probably my favorite moment of the episode. A lot of stuff happened, but that was probably my favorite moment of the episode, because he's very quick to check people on his Mandalorian stuff. And he's like, hey, you guys aren't, give me your armor. He's automatically like trying to, he's like, no, give me all of that.
Where did you get that armor?
Yeah, you're not even Mandalorian. Give me all of that. I'm going to kill you. Yeah, thanks for saving me, but let's wrap this shit up. You guys are about to get killed. And she's like, what are you talking about?
Like, what? It's funny because, you know, all these are filmed already. These shows are done, right? Uh-huh. And I remember seeing on social media, I guess it was Reddit, somebody was saying, like, Mandalorian never brings off his head or takes off his helmet. Obviously, these Mandalorians from the Clone Wars are all bullshit.
Yeah.
But then that reveal that he's like the Dark Watch. He's part of the Dark Watch.
Yeah, which was so cool, man. She's like, She's like, no, man, you were part of that weird, crazy cult.
Yeah, like, we're the Mandalorians. You're like, a weirdo.
My dad, my whole family is Mandalorians. Like, I'm actual, you know, you are just picked up by these creepy cultists.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even really a you're not even really a Mandalorian.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
She's like, oh, take off your, that's weird. First of all, like, hey, we can take our helmets off because that's a dumb fucking rule.
you know what I mean?
And you can tell he's just kind of like, he doesn't understand it. It kind of like shocks his world. And even though you can't see his face, for some reason, his body language and everything, you can still kind of tell what he's feeling in those instances.
Yeah.
And lots of cool things in this. We see Moff Gideon again, which was a cool thing because we haven't seen him yet. Such a big reveal at the end of season one. And they talk about the darks because that's what, for me, that was a big question at the end of season one. How did Moff Gideon get the Darksaber from Bo-Katan? And it's cool that they quickly establish, like, that's why she's in this show. And that's why she's doing these things. She wants that Darksaber back. She wants to rule Mandalore or whatever. I can't remember what the subplot was, really.
Well, and he says, like, Mandalore is a wasteland. Everyone that goes there dies. And she's like, no.
Yeah.
It's not like that at all.
Stop listening to those weirdos.
Yeah.
And then it just makes, like, it's callbacks. It makes everything from season one, like, you start to realize, like, yeah, man, those guys were kind of like religious zealots, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with the way they acted and the way they, like, kind of had their whole secret society thing going on.
Yeah, yeah, like, they sounded real crazy.
Yeah, like, Tom Cruise is probably in charge of those guys. Probably.
Yeah. On a side note, I appreciate everyone that's gone online and liked my Mandalorian / alien picture.
That was a hit. And it was just kind of some things floating in the zeitgeist, man, if I can use that word. So Mandalorian's trending right now. Marvel did acquire Aliens and Predators. They've been kind of, you know, releasing some things that are coming out. So those are buzzwords. People are picking up on that. And people really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you guys for showing Tom some love, because I get to ride on those coattails.
Ride them straight to hell.
This episode was cool. And obviously, some people were kind of excited. They wanted to see, I can't remember if she actually says Ahsoka's name or if she just talks about the Jedi and then it's kind of, you know.
She obvious. Does say her name as far as I remember, yeah.
So it's cool. Like, even as soon as she said, I know a Jedi that I could send you to, because she didn't say it at first. I was like, oh, obviously it's Ahsoka. So
yeah.
It's cool that she wasn't in this episode. I'm glad it wasn't, you know, because we talked about that numerous times on, like, hey, just, it's okay to leave a little bit, you know.
Right. We don't need to see it all at once.
Yeah. And so it's cool that maybe next week's going to be filler, or this week. Maybe it's going to be filler. It's okay. I know there's only 8 episodes, but like.
So my question is, I was thinking about this today. My question is, like, how many seasons are we going to go here? Are we going to try to stretch this thing out? I know there are filler episodes, but are we going to go for 5 seasons?
I said 3. We got 3 already.
Okay. See, I would be happy if they just did 3 and then did another TV show with a different, you know.
Yeah, give us that Obi-Wan show, man.
Oh, I want to see an Obi-Wan show.
Give us that Cassian Andor show. They were supposed to be doing both of those shows.
Yeah.
Like a Cassian Andor before Rogue One. Like, that show could be whatever it wants to be. Kind of like Mandalorian.
I don't know if I care about that one, but
I mean, I know I don't care about it either, but what I'm saying is on the same accord as you, like, give us, yes, yeah. Mandalorian is cool. Yes, it's amazing. But like, let's not fall into a Skywalker situation where we're trying to actually build a universe. And then they're, you know, it's like those HBO shows that get really, really famous. And they're like, well, you know what? We're not going to show what happens on the last episode because we're going to make a movie. And then they never make the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if they did, maybe the plot of The Mandalorian is the reason it's called The Mandalorian is so they don't have to focus on him the whole time, right?
So there were rumors going around before the season aired that Pascal had complications. He wasn't happy being in the mask all the time. He wanted to show his face as a, you know, an actor and all these things. Just having a lot of things, walked off set a few times, and people were saying that the show is going to transition into kind of like Infinity War was, where it was like 3 different stories and then they all kind of tie together. You know what I mean? So you had the people on Earth, people on Titan, people in space, wherever Thor and whatever his name was. So it's going to be like the chick and the dude from the first one, his gang from the first season. They're going to pop back up. Then you have the Mandalorians, the actual Mandalorians, and then you'll have the Mandalorian, Din, whatever his name is, Djarin.
Din Djarin.
And then so they'll have all these kind of like one episode, maybe this character, and then they kind of intertwine or something like that to kind of evolve the show. But I really, I don't want to see it go past season three.
Nah, it really doesn't need to. Resolve it. Move on.
Go ahead. Yeah, especially because next week they are starting to film Boba Fett, the show. Yeah.
Okay. Make it cool. I don't care.
I don't know. Boba Fett looks cool. I will always say that. He looks cool. But I don't know why. I don't see how you could
make it cool. Like if you,
he's not that cool though. Maybe he will be.
Well, that's the thing. Like if you make it a cool, Mando Minute has turned into Mando 10 minutes. But
it's irony. That's why I named it that.
Irony. But yeah, if they make Boba Fett worth a shit, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, his expanded universe before they washed all that away was cool.
It was cool.
And I'm glad that he's out of the Sarlacc pit, because that was expanded universe that he worked his way out.
But what they only have, like, they either do young Mando before he was, you know, caught up in with, you know, Darth Vader and all those guys, and before that original trilogy happens, because there's only what, 5 years from where he got sucked into the Sarlacc pit, right? It's only 5 years time
between Return of the Jedi and
Mandalorian. I thought it was only 5 years.
Oh yeah,
so it would only be his adventures for 5 years. Which I guess is that it's only going to be, it's supposed to be one season, like 4 episodes. So I guess it could be.
I think they could do before.
Yeah. It could work as a companion series as well, though. I've thought about that. Like, instead of diving deep into a bunch of Boba Fett stories in this season, then kind of like just do a companion series, maybe a show that comes out in between now and season three of Mandalorian. You know what I mean? Kind of like carries over.
Yeah. I don't know. They'd have to address the fact that he's not really Mandalorian.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big deal in this one. And I think maybe the reveal of whatever his name is, Mando, being not really Mandalorian, I think that's going to play into the story. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mando Minute's over. I saved the best news for last. This is, to me, is probably the best news I've gotten all week. So, if you watch DuckTales, you know that they've had 2 Darkwing Duck specials, and they have been amazing. Have you seen them at all?
Mm-mm.
Oh, dude.
Is it on Disney Plus?
It's on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Okay. I have seen a couple episodes. I did like them.
Oh, first of all, if you're not watching DuckTales and you're a fan of those 90s shows, you got to watch it. It is like a complete 90s universe. Like, they have Max and Goofy from Goof Troop. They have all of those characters from all those old shows, and all in one. It's so good. They had, again, they had 2 Darkwing Duck specials, and now they are doing a Darkwing Duck reboot. It's going to get his own show. Ugh, I'm so excited. I loved that show so much.
Yeah, dude. Darkwing Duck. I love Darkwing Duck.
So do I. Gizmo Duck is one of the main characters of DuckTales too, and he is so great in that.
Gizmo Duck.
Darkwing Duck. So cool. According to Variety, the reboot has no writer yet, but is being executive produced by Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, and James Weaver. Alex McAtee?
Alex Mack.
Yeah, the girl that could change into silver. That's cool. So their production company is called Point Grey Pictures. They've produced a lot of shows like The Boys, The Disaster Artist, Sausage Party, and This Is the End. Those guys, I think they did Preacher too, or at least a few. They started doing Preacher, but I think they might have left that project.
Quick sidebar, that since you mentioned The Boys, Moffex teased that a Homelander figure is coming out probably next year.
Looks good. Did you see? I obviously see it because you just brought it up. But yeah, I saw it today. It looks so good from just the little shadow corner that you see.
Mm-hmm.
You going to get it? Hey, Moffex, if you're listening to this, send us one.
Yeah. I'll review it. I'm an influencer.
We'll even send it back in 6 months.
Just cum stains all over. No, but I might influence one or two people to buy one. So yeah, send me.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the time that comes out, we might be real deep in the influence game. So you never know. Yeah,
I'll pay the cost of shipping.
Hell yeah. I'll split it with them. So there it is. Oh, so what do you think about this? Seth Rogen and them, they have a pretty good track record so far.
Oh, that I think it'll be great. It'll be funny. You said Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
I feel like they have a big love for nostalgia.
Yeah.
So
they're supposed to be doing a Ninja Turtles movie. So
yeah, I think they'll treat it right.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Again, Darkwing Duck, it's going to be really hard to miss, especially if they keep it. If it is connected to DuckTales, it's going to be great. If not, I'm okay with it. But if it's handled the same way, like the people that made DuckTales, like you said, have a love and appreciation for nostalgia. So
yeah,
I hope they do.
What they need to do is do a live action movie. They have the lady from Back to the Future on there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like Howard the Duck, but like
Darkwing Duck comes from the Duckverse. And I don't know, man.
What? Okay.
Know. You know, in DuckTales, I hope they bring gargoyles into that universe. That's the one last key I'm missing. My one last 90s show that I hope they incorporate.
I read something today. Gargoyles were only gargoyles if they helped drain rainwater. Otherwise, they're grotesques.
That ruins
some architecture.
I wonder why they're not making that show.
Maybe the old one is doing well.
Yeah.
Like maybe the old one is doing, because I watched like the first and second season. It's good. I mean, I still liked it. Yeah.
I watched it. Yeah. It holds up.
Yeah.
That wrote it is the same guy that made Young Justice.
Really?
Yeah. So, hey man, obviously people have been asking for it. So make it.
I don't know. Do you think it would be worth it? Do you think it'd be worth like a reboot, or would you rather see a continuation?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. I don't know what would ruin it for me.
Yeah, honestly. I don't really know. Put them in DuckTales, man.
Yeah.
That's a safe bet for you. That show has not missed yet for me. So put them in DuckTales. I appreciate
it. From what I watched, I really liked it. So I really need to sit down and...
That's good. Our friend Brett Sheffy loves it too. Him and I have that in common.
He's like, listen, guys, DuckTales is one of the best shows I've ever seen.
I love it too. So him and I have a lot in common on a few nerd things. That's going to do it for the notes. And we are going to take a quick break to listen to some sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Are you on the hunt for awesome collectibles or custom figures? Well, look no further than XavierCalCustomsAndCollectibles.com. They have everything from Figma to Gunpla and great custom repaints and sculpts. They sent us a 30-minute mission model kit, and we loved it. Follow XavierCal_CC on Instagram or search them on Facebook for the latest sales and pre-order info. That's XavierCal, CustomsAndCollectibles.com.
All right, welcome back, guys. Thank you for listening to those ads. And if you didn't, you're a jerk.
Yeah, what a D.
So this is the section of the podcast where we review a book. Comic book specifically. I don't want you to think we're fancy or anything like that.
We read
book reading. And this week we are picking a book that I was mentioning in our intermission that I forgot about. Simon suggested it. It's a Mark Millar book, and I'm really weird about that guy. I like a lot of his stuff, but he has a certain style where he sometimes tries to be edgy.
Yeah, he can be a little much.
And even in this issue, sometimes I was just like, or even in this book, I was just kind of like, all right, man, tone it down.
Yeah.
But the book we're reviewing is Huck. I don't know if I mentioned that. Let me give a brief synopsis real quick for you guys. In a quiet seaside town, Huck uses special gifts to do a good deed every day. And his neighbors return the favor by keeping his abilities a secret. But there's a newcomer that leaks it to the media. And then they go crazy. And that results in him going on an adventure that pretty much changes his life. This book is written by Mark Millar, as I said before. It is illustrated by Albuquerque. I can't remember his first name.
Raphael Albuquerque, I think, yes. Honestly.
Came out 2016. Image book. What are your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts is that I genuinely love this book. I think from the art, from the writing, like you said, Mark Millar can try so hard. One of my favorite comic books by him, coincidentally, is Wanted. And I really like it until the main character turns into Eminem and it's just like, ugh, okay.
Yeah.
But I think this book is great. And I think with the current environment, political environment, socioeconomic environment, everything seems negative, negative, negative. This book was so positive. It didn't end on a shitty note. I just loved how I felt after I got done reading it.
So I always, to my own fault, and my wife even asked me this today, I always wait until the last minute to read the book every week. Mainly because I wanted my genuine reaction. I want Simon to be really the first person I talk to about it, and I want it to be my genuine reaction. And I was worried that I wasn't going to finish this book in time because I reread so many pages in the first issue over. And I read them to my wife, and I was just like, man, this is, you know, it's a feel-good book. And exactly, I felt exactly how you said, like, with everything, just 2020 just being a total crapshoot, pandemic, you know, people losing their jobs, all kinds of sadness, all people die. It's just terrible. Every time you turn on the news or get on your phone, it's just terrible news. This book was just instantly refreshing.
Yeah.
Like to the first panel, we're going to kind of tread through a few of the issues. From the first panel where you see him going to save this chick, her necklace or whatever. And they a lot through the issue, which is one of my gripes. We'll talk about it in a second. They talk about him being slow and mentally challenged, but he's just quiet. And one of the ladies even says, like, hey, he's just a quiet guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I never really saw anything.
Me either, besides these people just being jerks. But the first page where you show him as the baby, this lady's explaining to this newcomer in town about Huck and kind of, hey, we keep him a secret. He does all these things. We just want to let you know how it goes.
Yeah.
She's like, we don't really know where he came from. And he's on the doorstep of this orphanage or whatever. And the card just says, please love him or something like that.
Yeah. Please love me or him.
Yeah. Something along those lines. And that card shows up through multiple issues. It's just a feel good book. He wants to do a good, the people that raised him in the orphanage taught him to do at least one good deed a day. And that's pretty much he based his whole life off of.
Yeah. And he does more than, like me or you, like, oh, yeah, pick up litter or, oh, there's to help that person cross the street, yeah, whatever. That sounds pretty stereotypical, but
yeah. He ran across country to deliver one Christmas card. That's the type of guy this guy is. Huck.
It's a good guy.
Pure
it's a
good goodness. Guy. You know, in the next panel or next page, he's like, and it's cool because it's showing every page, like his list of deeds. He's walking through the town and a guy's like, hey, man, what are you doing up so early? He's like, shh, I'm dumping the trash for everybody in town. Just like you said, it's not small feats. These are giant things that he's doing. Helping trucks out. You know, he lifted up this tree stump out of this guy's land so they could make a field or whatever.
And what's interesting about that is that I genuinely thought at that point, because he looked a little exasperated when he asked him to help it, I was like, oh, this is going to be him being tired of doing these good things. But it doesn't lead in that direction at all.
No, it goes the opposite way. He wants to do more. I don't remember if it's in issue one, but he's writing his things down. The background character is kind of explaining more and more about him. And then he sees on the news in North Africa, these 200 schoolgirls get... it is in the first issue because the chick that is the newcomer to town is learning all these things. And she's like, well, how come he doesn't try to get rich off of his abilities? And she's like, well, he's not like that. He does it because it's the goodness of his heart. And she's like, well, he could do so much more. And she's like, well, we kind of, you know, keep him to ourselves. But then he sees this thing in North Africa and you're like, well, maybe he should do more. Maybe this book is about this guy not living up to his potential, but that's again, not the case because he gets on a plane, probably rides on the, you know, on the wing,
right?
Jumps down in Africa. I thought it was so good and showed his, how sweet this guy is. He beats the crap out of these dudes, but he's like, hey man, take off your glasses.
Yeah, it's he like doesn't old, break his glasses.
Yeah, it's like an old Southern thing, I think, to never punch a man with glasses. And he's like, come on, just take your glasses off. And as soon as he does, he knocks him out. And he's like, hey guys, I have candy. I'm trying to, you know, he's just a sweetheart. He's like, just trying to make sure everybody's okay. But I need you guys to keep a secret. I don't, you know, I don't want people to know that I did this. I just thought it was so sincere and it was so good. And at the end of the issue, I told my wife, I said, I don't want to read this anymore. Because usual comic book fashion, this guy's going to die at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be some huge fight and he's going to freaking die and I'm going to hate it.
Right.
Issue two, there is also some secret society. I think issue two, we see some secret society people watching him because at the end of the issue, the newcomer to town drops the news to the news and they obviously swarm the town. Issue two, you think, it leads you to believe all these things. Like, okay, now the media is here. So now all these bad things are going to happen, but he doesn't run away. He sees somebody in the crowd that needs his help and he goes into the crowd to help that person.
Yeah, he's hiding, but then he's like, I got to get out there.
Yeah. You know? And all these people, then you think he's going to get overwhelmed and he's not going to do this. All these people are asking him. He's like, stop. Let me get a pin.
I love that it bucks the trend or the presumption that you make. Like, exactly. Like, I thought he was going to get tired of doing good deeds. I thought that he was going to be too scared to go out in the public. Mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, he was going to be overwhelmed. And he supersedes that.
Yeah. You know? He's just like, no, I'm going to do all these things. Just let me get a pin. I got to write it down. I'm going to forget. And he does. And then the rest of the issue is showing him save the lady's husband, which I thought was great because he wasn't dead or anything. He was just a sketchy dude.
Yeah, just an asshole.
And he saves a person's brother. It's all these things. And then you start to see that these people, some people are taking advantage of him as far as like the governor and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you. I love that it's totally everything you expect. And it's like a twist, but not in like a twisty, jarring, suspenseful way. It's just like, oh, wow, this is a breath of fresh air to see a character that is really wholesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yes. Yeah. That didn't have any. It had twists, but it didn't have any that were so that like you thought he was going to die at the end. Or I thought that he was going to turn away from this goodness. Like, he was good throughout.
You start to see sprinkles of this lady that is being experimented on in Russia. You learn about this place called Science City. One of 200 something science cities. You start to see a little bit of this. And at the end of the issue is the biggest twist. This guy is at a bar with his friend. And he's like, what's the big deal? Why are you watching that? And he's like, that's my brother. And which is exciting. It's like, wow, there's two of them. Okay. There's two. And this guy seems nice.
Mm-hmm.
I was in. And then in the second issue, more of him being taken advantage of by the governor, and he's using him. They throw the word retard around a lot. I didn't like that. They did it like way too much. I was just like, we get it, man.
Mark Miller.
But yeah, the governor and all his constituents are trying to take advantage of him. It's kind of gross, but it's also kind of how the world is. And even in those moments, like he's at this dinner, they try to get him to wear a tux. He doesn't want to. He does it. They make fun of him. But his whole thing the whole time is like he's looking at these cats outside that are like bony cats.
It's like, those cats look hungry.
And she's like, hey, who cares about the cats? Let's get this. And he's just like, that's all he could think about.
Yeah. And then he feeds the cats and he sees there's some bums. And he's like, well, why don't y'all stay in my room? I'm going home.
He doesn't just feed the cats. He calls room service and he's like, give me all your fish and all your chicken. And he goes outside. And then he's like, yeah, to the homeless people, he's like, you guys take this room, do whatever you want, order whatever you want. I'm out of here. Because he's not dumb like everybody thinks he is. He can tell that they're taking advantage of. He looks at the same card he was left with and he cries on it, which is makes you feel, you know, it makes you feel something.
Makes you feel.
You know, which is weird for me.
What is this?
He's leaving to go home, hops on the train because this is, I think it's so cool. It's like, this is what it reminded me of. It reminded me of Golden Age Superman.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't fly or anything like that. He jumped. And so right. The cool way that he traveled is that he jumped on cars and he jumped on a train and he jumped on the plane, you know, and he's on this train. And then out of the shadows, his brother pops up and he says, "Hey, I'm your brother, Tom," which was cool because Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer.
Right. yeah, I thought that was cool too.
And it's cool because he's a big guy, you know. And more in issue two, you see more experiments on the lady or whatever. Mm-hmm. Issue three, he explains everything. His mom, I might be mistaken, but his mom had powers. She has super strength and all that stuff like him, but she's an empath. She has psychic powers as well. She can make people do whatever she wants by touching them.
Yeah, they didn't really explain the extraneous powers. Like, it's almost like they're superhuman.
Yeah, the way I looked at it is like, think about when you're going through and looking at superheroes' powers. Like, if you go through different Wikipedias, look at super people's powers, it always says super strength or enhanced strength. It always says super speed. And so I think it was just like a play on like, hey, all superheroes have that. So let's just give them that. But their powers are, his powers is he can track anything as long as he has a name or a photo, and then so the brother's telling him all this stuff, and then they go on a road trip, and even the road trip's wholesome
road trip
because he stops to save somebody from a burning building, he stops to save animals from a zoo caravan that spills over, ducks crossing the road. He does all these things.
And they list it in there. It's like emergency number one, emergency number two. Yeah.
So good, man. So good. And
so good.
They find the lady. They find his mom. And this twist, and I think I was distracted by all the wholesomeness that this twist got me.
Well, and even, so the twist in coming, like, the brother, you know, he explains all this stuff that happened and he inserts himself into the story.
Yeah.
And he's so nice. Like, I kept expecting him to take advantage of his brother, too, to be honest.
I'd never expected him to not be his brother, though.
Right.
Yeah. I expected him to, like you said, take advantage of him like the governor and all those guys, which maybe this book is that good. Maybe all that stuff was a distraction, because I legitimately, when this happened, I wasn't surprised at the twist really, because I was like, okay, this is this twist makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, damn, I was distracted.
Right. just like him. Yeah. Just like him.
You find out that Tom is not his brother. In fact, it was such a good twist, because the mom opens his door and she looks terrified. And he's like, he's excited, over the top.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, your boys are here. And she's like, I only had one son. And just like, what?
Yeah.
And then exploding punch to the side. He's down for the count.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to realize that the doctor was the doctor that she tricked, or was the scientist that she tricked in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it took me a while to put those together, like the last issue.
Yeah, when the password is her name.
Yeah, so come to find out that the scientist that she tricked to escape the Russians in the beginning of the book is also like a head scientist, now created these super AI robots, but the thing is they don't last very long. They're ultra powerful, but they only last a year. It's like 15 months or something like that. And so they recapture Huck and his mom, and that's sort of how it ends, that issue ends.
Right.
Man. So what do you think about the twist? Did it catch you?
Oh, yeah, it definitely caught me, because like I said, I genuinely thought he was going to take advantage of him. Sorry for the clicking. I thought that he was going to take advantage of him as like, you know, maybe not to go see their mom, or maybe his mom was like a drug user or something, because I saw her in a couple of things, she looked kind of strung out,
and but, she was weird, like she karate chopped a kid that was coming to do whatever,
sleep. But I don't think she really karate chopped it. I think misread that. It was like a
tuffed his
head.
Yeah,
but I thought the same thing. I thought she was like pah.
Yeah,
but for him to be a complete different, like, has this like heat punch and just smacks the shit out of him. Like, I did not expect that at all.
I didn't either, man. So we wrap the story up with them being captured. I thought it was great, man. You know, typical stuff, exactly how you would imagine that this last scene would go. Bad guy gloats, he wins. Good guys find a way out. And, you know, it's a comic book, so you're expecting, and it's a Mark Millar book, so you're thinking, man, this might have a sad ending, you know?
Yeah, the whole time, waiting for it.
Superheroes, the good guys win, and oh, man, it was so good because it was like, how are you going to get out of here? And the Tom was taunting them so well, and he was just like, wait, I figured it out. And it's so cool that how they used his powers. Like, his powers weren't just locating people, it was like things he could find, things. So like kind of like Karnak in the Marvel universe, he could spot the weakness in the glass he was looking.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, what's funny is like the more they use the R word to like describe him, the more his voice in my head turned into like a Gomer Pyle voice. Like,
yeah,
when I first heard him, he kind of had like a deep voice in my head, and sooner or later he's like, well, we got to worry about those cats out there because they don't have anything to eat. Yeah. You know, it's like,
but I never got that he was special needs or anything, man. I mean, he
was just a dude.
He was like, just a nice, we're not from the country, but we,
you could almost say naive, yeah, but not retarded.
We're surrounded by like country people. And so it just seems like just one of those nice country people, which they're not a lot of them. I'm not saying that, but
not a lot of nice country people,
but that's, you know what I mean?
That's the European view. And I've noticed this about it. First time I ever keyed into this is when I was watching Digimon movie in like 2000.
Mm-hmm.
First time I ever keyed into how Europeans view Southerners, especially like Texans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The characters are taking a taxi ride in Texas and the guy's like, yeehaw! You know, like driving all over the road. And
but he's super nice.
Yeah. But just like dumb as a brick and can't drive. And that's when I realized that, yeah, Europeans, which Mark Millar, I think, is Scottish.
Maybe. Yeah, I think he might be right.
that's when I realized that Europeans think that we're all just dumb as bricks. Not only Americans, but like Southern Americans. So dumb.
Yeah. It's a cool way that they escaped. He's like, he's punching his way through. He can't break it. He's getting pissed off. The first time you see him angry, you know, his mom's in danger. He's basically saying, we're going to kill your mom. That's it. He's taunting them.
Yeah, always concerned about someone else.
Always. He's not even worried about himself at all, which is so, it was so good to see, man. Awesome. Then he figures it out, which it was kind of like, okay. But I guess it worked for the story because his thing was like his mom can control anybody, which that in itself was a selfless act, the further you read, because he's like, tell me to punch through the wall. And so she, you know, uses her powers and he's doing it to the point of like a normal person would stop because it hurts, but now he can't stop because she told him to. So before the last hit, she's like, hey, you need to stop because, you know, your hands. And he's like, just one more time. And then he breaks through.
That's the only time. And I know we normally kind of section this off by art and stuff, but that's the only time art wise that I didn't think it reflected the story.
Yeah.
So she says, your hands, you know, what about your hands?
I agree.
And he keeps hitting. He doesn't even have bloody knuckles. There's not like some drippy looking, like in the line art, you can see where it's supposed to look like he's bleeding, but they didn't add it in.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I felt the same way. Yeah. He breaks through. They beat the crap out of the robots. And it's so
Tom cool. Tom was a robot, by the way. We didn't mention that.
Tom was a robot. He was an AI. Yeah.
Wait, did we? Yes, we did. Sorry.
I don't remember.
Whatever.
They catch up to this. It was so cool. His mom was like, you know, checking on him. And she's like, what about that guy? And he's like, hey, you let me worry about that guy. He does this like instant detecting thing and throws that lamppost, trips them up, and they're instantly there. And he's like, my mom wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
And it was so cool because like she used his powers to delete everything. It was kind of sad because the password was her name, and then you know, you find out that was the guy that she tricks very early on, and then he starts to gloat again, which I was like, you're an idiot, you're not that smart.
This is the time to stop talking.
Yeah, either one, they're gonna punch his head off. Like, yeah, this is gonna be the only, but I'm glad it didn't because it kept him wholesome. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was going to be grossed out if they, not grossed out, but I was going to be like, oh, that sucks. That's not his character, you know?
Right.
But then she goes and she's like, forget everything that you know about science. And so now she's
a dumbass. Blanks out his head.
Dumbass now. And they go back home and everything's good. They continue to help people. And he talks to the girl that, you know, he had a crush on, and everything's good.
Yeah. The mom moves in with him and
they help even more people.
Yeah. In the end, you know, that one doctor had made fun of him, or he said he was gloating to the mom, like, you must be so proud that you have a gas station attendant as a son. Mm-hmm. And in the end, after she does that, what is he? A gas station attendant. Yeah. So
pretty good. It was I don't want a sequel. I don't, there's no need for one ever.
My favorite kind of book, self-contained and short.
It was so self-contained. It ended, Madison was like, how are you going to read 6 issues? And I was like, we'll see. Blaze through it. It was such a quick read.
I read it this morning after my interview.
What? We talked about how much we liked it. We talked about the issues. We talked about our thoughts. What didn't you like about it? What cons do you have if you can have any?
I would say my cons are sometimes the art or the coloring.
Yeah.
Didn't reflect the story. I like the art. I liked how many times I was wrong in the story. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't predictable.
Yeah.
But the coloring didn't always reflect. And that's really my only gripe. I don't have a lot. It was a little much, I guess, and then they're calling him a retard, you know. Yeah. Like, they didn't say he was a little, some of them said he was a little slow and some of them were just being mean. I understand that they were trying to get that point across, but I guess that would be those two are my complaints, is like the overuse of the word retard.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
I'm not saying I don't use it.
It was not what I was saying about Mark Millar trying to be like edgy, and he's trying
to force
that grit in there.
Yeah, this guy's a dick. Look, he said retard.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so that and the coloring, I would say, are my only real complaints.
Okay, what about you? I'm with you. I loved the story. I loved how wholesome it was. It reminded me of Golden Age Superman. I can't say that enough. I love old school Superman. A lot of things where it had enough convenience a lot of things happened on convenience, but it wasn't so convenient that I was like, oh, this is predictable because of the twist, the small, subtle twist.
Yeah. There weren't a lot of Deus Ex Machina type situations.
One of my biggest complaints is that the newcomer introduced in the story seems like a main character in the beginning. And the gravity of her character changes the course of the entire book. And the whole time I'm looking for her. Like, what is she? I thought she was the second robot because they reference her. I missed when she was in the book, I guess. They said she was in the book. I don't even remember her being in there before. It wasn't her. And her whole character arc was just at the end, he forgives her. But it was just like, to me, it just seemed like there was a lot of gravity on that character for that small of a role. I do appreciate that they brought it back. They just did not reference her again. But
right. Yeah, she seemed almost like an April O'Neil call-in. Yeah. You know, like some kind of weird,
I thought it was going to be like a love interest.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what I thought it was going to be. But it wasn't. And maybe that was just another twist, another distraction, because I was looking for that character a lot.
Yeah. There were a couple times where I honestly, within the artwork, had confused that person with his mother.
Same.
Because they both had red hair. They were thin.
For me, it was the publicist, like the one that told him to stop worrying about the cats. I thought that was that lady. So that's one of my complaints. I loved the artwork. Mm-hmm. I thought it went well through most of the story, as far as you can tell what was going on. A lot of the imagery was really good. Like when he was running away, crying, all those scenes were amazing. The colors didn't do it for me.
No.
We talk about it a lot. I like bold, bright colors. And this was kind of like way softer.
Bold, bright.
Yeah. Way softer. And It just didn't do it for me. It didn't pull me out, but
yeah,
it definitely keeps it from being a 10 for me.
And I will say, looking through the concept art, they really, I feel like they did a good job centering in on what he needed to be, because like in the concept artwork, they made him look kind of frumpy and this and that. And then they finally settled in on being this huge dude.
Yeah.
It's like really nice, huge dude, handsome. Doesn't think anything about himself.
Not muscular, but just like a thick dude.
He's a big old bro.
He's not fat, but even like there's one character in some drug, he calls him a fat ass, but it's like he's just a big ass guy.
He's a big corn fed motherfucker.
I don't have much complaints. I did expect a little bit more from that chick. Looked for it a lot, didn't see it. That's it. That's really the only complaint I have.
Yeah. What are your major pros? If you could center on one thing, what would it be?
It was nice to read a book a feel good book.
Oh, yeah.
In a time where everyone tries to pull on the emotion of negativity, you read sad books. This thing, it does. It pulls emotions from you of like sadness. Things make you sad about it. But it's a wholesome book. And the good guys win at the end. Nowadays, I feel like a lot of comic book stories and a lot of stories in general try to end in sadness or tragedy. I feel like a lot of people think that that's what you have to do to be, you know, award-winning or good. Like you have to be a tragedy. And it was really, really good to read a book. One, that isn't, it's a superhero book that's not a superhero book.
Yeah.
And it was a feel-good book for me.
Yeah. I would say that's also my bro. After finishing it, not like I bought this for a friend of ours because I heard good things. I like Mark Millar.
Mm-hmm.
Never read it. Read it this morning. First time I've ever opened it, you know?
Yeah.
Expecting all these bad things to happen to this character because of who wrote it. And then it just being this super wholesome thing.
Not even just who wrote, but like we both mentioned before, like, because that's what we expect from the world now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just
things in general, we don't expect to open something up and feel good about a book. Like, we've read superhero books that are cool, that have action, that are great, funny. But this was a genuine, nice change of pace.
Yeah, without sounding too a cliche or ridiculous, it makes you want to be a little better, you know, do a good deed a 100%. Day or whatever.
100%.
It was great. I really enjoyed it. I liked the art style. I wasn't huge on the coloring, but only because I feel like maybe it was rushed.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
The only reason I used the coloring as a complaint is because I don't like to leave books like they're perfect. Because
right. Yeah.
I gotta find something.
Yeah. Maybe the colorists didn't get all the notes they needed to get. I don't know.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I really, really liked it. And I think everyone should give this a read because 2020 has been a shit show.
Yeah.
And it does have some twists and turns. And if you haven't read it, obviously we've spoiled a lot.
But
it's still great. Still a good read.
I can tell you right now, if this interests you at all, most of the Image books that we review, you can go to Image's website and read the first issue for free. Huck especially, they have the first issue up for free, and I feel like after reading the first issue, it made me for sure want to read. Like, sometimes you'll read a first issue and you're like, maybe the second issue would be better, but this one I was like, I gotta read the second issue.
And as a quick plug, not really, but if you have a library card or if you don't, whatever, there is an app called Hoopla, Hoopla. If you have a library card, you plug that number in and you can borrow books for free. That's where I read Huck.
Hoopla's great. I don't use Hoopla because I have Comixology Unlimited, but if you have a library card, I should probably download it just because Comixology doesn't have everything.
Right.
But it's free if you have a library card, which is great. You support the libraries and you get to read whatever you want.
Yeah. Life's not hard when you have a library card.
Facts. All right. So if you go to the FAQ section of our Discord, now I have a quick plug of our Discord.
That's good.
And I have a place where people can find our grading chart. And if you're not part of our Discord, you should. It is a great nerd community. We have a ton of different nerd conversations. We have individual channels for all of your nerd interests. And I thought I was overdoing it, but honestly, I like to keep conversations separate. You know, not everybody wants to hear about anime. Not everybody wants to hear about wrestling. So just, you know, everybody has their own kind of nerd space. You can go to our Discord, check the FAQ, and you can see our grading chart. If you're reading this, you know, I've had multiple people ask me, hey, where can I see this? There it is.
It's right there.
Okay, so given this, I'm going to let you go first as usual. I got mine.
Oh, let's see. I'm going to pull it up.
Yeah, got mine.
So, sidebar, I don't know if you saw, well, I know you're not big on Facebook these days, which I completely understand and appreciate. Your wedding day, or at least the picture release from your wedding day, memories are, let's see, I got a memory today.
Is it today?
From 2015, November 17, 2015. There's this great picture of me being creepy as fuck behind you and Fitz. And I said, I've always got your back, Lex. I've always got your back. And everybody told me I look creepy. So
I love that picture. I want to get it framed.
Yeah, it's a good picture of you and Fitz. But I feel like it's enhanced by how creepy I look in the background.
You have to be in it when it's framed.
So if I had to judge this on... basically, I think is chef's kiss. Great. I'm going to give it a E5. I think that's like center mass. Good toast.
That's exactly what I gave it. I gave it an E5. That is toast.
That's toast.
That is toast.
About your butter, it's going to taste good. It's going to be crunchy.
You're going to eat it and you're going to have a good day.
Yeah.
That is, that's it, folks. We did it. We reviewed it. We had a little bit of a hiccup in the middle. If I can work my magic tonight, you won't even notice.
He's going to work that magic tonight, baby.
AKA, I'm going to put that awkward horn sound in the middle of the episode and let it roll like nothing happened. Wah, wah, wah.
That's the best. I enjoy it.
That's going to do it for the audio version. I have a few things to talk about with Simon very briefly after this. But we're circling the drain. So, yeah, we'll see you guys next time.